Glory to God. Welcome. How has your week been? 1 John chapter 5. We're looking at the saints in prayer. Saints in prayer. Okay. It's either you say the saints in prayer or saints in what? Prayer. Both are correct. Saints in prayer or the saints in prayer. 1 John and chapter 5. So we're laying certain foundations because of the truth that we find contained in God's word, particularly the epistles, which will guide us and aid us in understanding the true character of God so that we can be effectual in the place of prayer. Now, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, the Bible says, "And we know that the Son of God is come, and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And when him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life." Hallelujah. Now, you will find the definition of what Jesus has come to do, spoken of in different ways, but if you put all the scriptures together, you will arrive at the same conclusion. Now, John is majoring on a particular aspect that's important. He says, "And we know," this is our common persuasion, "we know that the Son of God is come." Why did he come? He said that we may know him that is true. One of the greatest challenges of mankind is understanding God's character. When the will of God is not known, it's impossible to use faith. So, when John tells us here that you can summarize Jesus' ministry this way, the Son of God is come to give us an understanding. In other words, the life and the ministry of Jesus, what he accomplished in his death, burial, and resurrection was to give us an understanding. So, from birth to his ministry, to his death, to his burial, every aspect of his life is to give us an understanding that we may know him that is true. The word truth also means reality and faithful. The one who is faithful. The one who doesn't change. The one whose character doesn't fluctuate. We want to know him that is faithful. Hallelujah. So the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding. So the life of Jesus is an understanding of who God really is. Glory to God. The life of Jesus is an understanding of who God really is. That's so important. The Son of God is come. So a believer must understand that the revelation of the epistles is a full explanation of the character of God. Now, this is important because in our day, you can use the Bible to say anything and to do anything. You can use the Bible to kill. You can use the Bible to murder. You'll find statements in the Bible that seemingly appear contradictory. That's why we have such scriptures that just says that the Son of God is come to give us an understanding that we may know him that's faithful. He says, "And we are in him." So in his nature, in his character, we've received the same faithfulness, the same nature, the same conduct. We are in him that is true. This is the true God. Even what? Eternal life. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, speaking in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days, spoken to us by his Son." Can you see that? So the word "last days" there in the original Greek means at last. It means at last or finally. Now notice the first verse. "God, who has sung in times and diverse manners, speak in time fast unto" who? The fathers. By the prophet. So can we say the language of the prophet is reported speech? Is that okay? So whatever God is saying filtered through the prophet who had an imperfect knowledge about God. So if a prophet is going to speak on behalf of God, he's going to speak using his own vocabulary based on his own word, understanding, or comprehension. Are we in agreement? Now, so we need the mind of Christ to fully explain, unravel some of the hard speeches communicated by the prophets. Now, in the previous teaching, I told us, for instance, now then the Bible says that, I think in Isaiah 6, it says, "Heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool." You don't take that in a graphical way. You don't now see God big enough to fill the heavens. And then he's so big, the heavens can't contain him. There's a song like that now. Okay, now the heavens can't contain him. And then so his leg extended towards the earth. No, it's literary language. Okay. It's language of literature. What does that mean? It means that it's telling you that heaven there doesn't mean a geographical planet. Heaven there means the unseen. God's authority, God's presence is unseen. That's what it means. When it says heaven is my throne, throne always means authority. How many of you agree? The earth is my footstool means I express that authority on earth. That's what it's saying. So the minute you take it out of context, you begin to see a gigantic being. But when this gigantic being chose to pay attention, finally unveil himself, he came in the weakness of human flesh. Shouldn't that teach us something? Why would he choose the weakness of human flesh when he could come in the splendor of angelic bodies? You can hardly see an angel and not say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, when you see angels. When you see Jesus, the way they despise him, he will let you know he was beyond eye looking. I mean, Judas had to identify him with a kiss. You know, if Jesus was looking glamorous, when you come to his presence, you will know, this is he. But Judas needed to identify him. That means among disciples, he looked like one of them. He needed to be identified. Now, again, some of us, because of things we read in the Holy Scripture, and I say Holy Scripture is Genesis to Malachi, we find that difficult to comprehend because we're still thinking God is pretending. He's not pretending. That's exactly how God is. And that is the problem with man. It is not God's appearance that is wrong. It's our thinking that's the problem. Isaiah caught a revelation. Isaiah 53 from verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of God been real? The one arm there is also known as God's spirit, which is God's plan. To whom has God's plan been revealed? He shall grow up. He's describing that plan. He shall grow up before him. So God will grow. Ah, there's a problem. There's really a problem. How can God grow? He said, he shall grow before him as a tender plant. And as a root out of a dry ground. That's Isaiah prophesying. He now says, he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should want, desire him. So there was nothing extraordinary about his appearance. And yes, this is the extraordinary God. I'm going somewhere this evening because it's so important that we become so simple in prayer and become more effective. Because if you don't understand God's character, what we saw last week in Luke 18, which we're going to read, about the unjust judge will stand in your way in the place of prayer. This is God. So the Bible says, in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his son. Or at last, he has spoken by his son. That means that whatever job the prophets did to speak on God's behalf, they didn't do a perfect job. He had to come to speak in his son or to speak by himself. Hallelujah. He had to speak by himself. So in speaking by himself, no longer reported speech, this is God speaking. So one of the ways we say it is that Jesus is God's correcting fluid of all the negative things the prophet said that were contrary to the character of God. He that has seen me has seen who? The Father. He didn't say he that has seen me has seen somebody like the Father. He's not like Father. He is the Father manifest. Again, let me call your attention to something important. When the angel came and announced to Mary, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, he said, you shall call his name Jesus because he shall save his people from their sins. So think about it. John told us in John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt where? Among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory has only begun to the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Actually, the proper translation is grace, which is truth. Now, if he became flesh, and when God came in the flesh, we called him Jesus. We didn't call him warrior. We didn't call him destroyer. We didn't call him killer. We called him the one who saves. It means the highest revelation of God is our Savior. It is so fundamental. That is how he chose to be known. Because that's who he really is. So, El Elyon, El Shaddai, El Gibbon, Jehovah Sikkenu, Jehovah Roy, Jehovah Rapha. Supply the others. Sikino, what else? Everything, put it together, Savior. Do you understand? Everything together, what? Savior. That's all. Summarize everything. Is what? Savior. So if when God finally appeared, how did he want to be known? As the one who saves. That means the one who rescues men from destruction. Which means he's not the author of destruction. That's how he wants to be known. What is he trying to do? Erase all misconceptions of things spoken by men under the influence of the law about him. To correct. See again. He says, in this last days he has spoken in his son. And then he began to give us the qualification of his son. Who being, by whom he has appointed, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the what? World. So he's telling you, everything God made when it comes to his plans and purposes, he did it by his son. That means that from chapter 3 of the book of Genesis, things went contrary to his plans. So utterances you find coming from the mouth of men is no longer perfect, because they no longer had the perfect revelation of God. Where will you find God's perfect definition? In Genesis 1, Genesis 2. From Genesis 3, other things began to play out. So whatever you're reading from that time forward, you're not reading a full revelation of God. So prophets began to arise. Who spoke on behalf of God? But they spoke and their mind was colored by events that they didn't understand. For which many of them blamed God. And Jesus came to correct the things that they said. How many of you agree with that? Thank you. James chapter 1 now. James chapter 1. We're looking at the saint in prayer. And our effectiveness hinges largely on our understanding and recognizing God's character. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Notice, if a man lacks, he should ask. If a man lacks, he should ask. If you lack, he should ask. Wisdom here is used as an illustration, but wisdom is not the only thing you can ask. If any man lack wisdom, and he notices the word any man. Whenever James uses the word any, he's always referring to a law. He uses this phrase or this word any a lot. You'll find him in James chapter 5 saying that, is any sorrowful, let him sing psalms. Is any man, let him sing psalms. Is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. That means this will work for any that is in the church. He tells you, is any merry, let him sing. Is any afflicted, let him pray. He's telling you what will work in that situation. So when he says here, if any man, this is a law. It's not some, it is any. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth. Say, God giveth. Say, God gives. Say, God gives. He says, to all men liberally and not brazen, and he shall be given him. So the first thing we see James is telling us here, which is very crucial, is that God is a giver. God is a giving God. God always gives. Let him ask of God who gives. Then the second thing is that he gives to all. So the first thing is God gives. Second thing, God gives to all. Number three, he doesn't find fault. Oh, let me say, I've skipped one step. God gives. God gives to all. Number three, he gives. How does he give? How does he give? Lavishly. Not reluctantly. He gives lavishly. God gives lavishly. If your thinking is contrary to this, you will see what will play out shortly as we are reading on. He said, let him ask of God who gives. And this God gives to all men. And when he gives to all men, he gives lavishly. And when he gives lavishly, he doesn't find fault. Four things James wants you to pay attention to. God does not find fault. In other words, the conduct of a man or the morality of a man is not taken into consideration when God is giving. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is Jesus speaking through James, the spirit of the New Testament. This is contrary to the law. This is not what the law teaches. This is the nature and character of God now, which is a nature that is separate from the law. It's very important. He says, let him ask of God, the one who gives. Number two, he gives to all men. Number three, when he gives out lavishly, without holding back. Number four, he does not find fault. Then you understand how much damage the law must have done, because it is the law that finds fault. It is the law that calls the sins of men into account. And that's why the law is always contrary to faith, because faith is you believing in God's goodness, which is God's character. That's what faith is. Look at how the Bible defines what Abraham found. Romans chapter 4, from verse 1. Well, some of the most difficult truths to pass across to the average believer is about righteousness of faith. And that's the core of the gospel. And yet, a lot of believers stumble at it. Look at what the Bible says. It says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to... So, naturally, is the natural... According to natural genealogy, is the father of the Jews. It says, our father, what did he find? For if this Abraham, that we highly esteem and revere, if he was justified by works, he may have reason to boast, but definitely not before God. So we extol Abraham. We call him the father of faith. And he's a type. Okay? A figure of speech for what we have now in Christ. He now says that, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God. It was what? Counted to him for righteousness. Now look at the next verse. See what it says. It says, now to him that walks is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. In other words, if Abraham was morally sound and he was okay, and Abraham deserved to be called righteous, then it will never be called a work of grace. If it's not a work of grace, faith will not be mentioned at all. It will be because God actually hold Abraham that acceptance has been righteous. That's what he's saying. To one who walks. So to walk there would mean if he qualified for it. If he dotted all his I's and crossed all the T's, then Abraham will have been regarded as somebody that God holds you. Righteousness. But see what it says next. This is where it's scandalous now. Say, but to him that walketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, while the ungodly is still ungodly. It justifies the ungodly when the ungodly is still what? Ungodly. In other words, Abraham was ungodly. What then made Abraham righteous? He believed. What did he believe? That God would justify him even though he's ungodly. How did God look at it? Abraham, you are right. That's God's method. Hallelujah. And in case you didn't get it, Paul told us that the law was not designed for a righteous man. For if any man will be just, it will have to be by faith. The law was never designed for a righteous man. In fact, the law was designed for those who rejected faith. What is faith? Refusing to believe that God is good and merciful. That's what unbelief is. They refused to believe. What was given to them? The law. What's the law? Your own performance. We will wait on the scales. It will never measure up. Whatever comes out of it is yours. And the law finds fault. As far as it's the law, it brings such a close scrutiny, you can never be fully justified. For by the deeds of law shall no man be justified. Romans chapter 3 verse 28. By the deeds of the law shall no man be justified. Romans 3 28. But shall no man be justified. That's what the Bible says. So when he's talking about Abraham here, he told us that Abraham found something. Abraham found something about God, that God would justify the ungodly. Say amen. So let me ask you a question. If Abraham found God would justify the ungodly, if a man is ungodly, does he have faults? Does he have faults? So what is Paul trying to tell us about God? That God does not find fault. So what did Abraham believe? God will justify the ungodly. Who is the ungodly in this case? Abraham. In other words, Abraham, if you believe me, believe I don't find fault. Hallelujah. Are you with me tonight? Good stuff. So, go back to that, James. Verse 6 now. But let him ask in faith. Stay with the context. Faith will now be in the light of the doctrine that James just presented to us. What's the doctrine? God gives. He gives to all men. He gives liberally. Number 4, he doesn't find fault. Are we together? And I said, let him ask in faith. So your faith is in what? All those 4 things about God, which is a description of God's character. In other words, when you are asking, your confidence in prayer should always be on God's character, not on yours. Your confidence in prayer should always be on God's reputation, God's character, and not on yours. God always gives. He gives to all men. He answers prayer so much, he answers the prayer of the ungodly. You are proof. Because you were once ungodly. It was faith in him that made you godly. If God doesn't answer the prayer of the godly, nobody will be saved. Look at how Paul defined it. This is a saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's Paul, the apostle. That was on Paul's CV. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He says, of whom I am chief. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I believe verse 11 or 15? 15. 15, thank you. So you see? So that's very important. So he says in verse 6 of this again, but let him ask in faith. So faith now would be what? Understanding God's character or believing God's character. Nothing wavering. Where does wavering come in? When you don't ask in faith. What does it mean not to ask in faith? To put your conduct on the line. So notice something very important here. When you're asking based on God's conduct, based on God's reputation, it means that's how means what it means to ask in faith. It has nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. When he uses the word wind, wave of the sea, he's using a figure of speech to speak about emotions. Your emotions, different thoughts come to your mind because you are not perfect in your conduct. So God's perfect conduct will be the basis of your faith. This is who God is. Do you know, as simple as this truth is, people still struggle with it. You see people doing something wrong and hiding from God. You've gone back to the Garden of Eden. You're like Adam. Adam believed the lie. What was the lie? God knows the day you eat of this fruit, you'll be like him. And Adam fell for it. They believed it. They were now hiding. They were hiding from the one who clothed them. So God needed them to know. That's why God's character is clearly seen from the beginning. He warned you about sinning. You still sinned. He still came to look for you. So where do we get this thing from? That when man sins, God forsakes them. He warned you about the sin. You went ahead to sin. You went to hide. He came to look for you where you were hiding. You didn't ask him after you committed sin that he should forgive you. He offered to clothe you. Religion is a bastard. I'm just telling you. God, when I see some of these screens, I cry. At how much the enemy has cheated man to religion. I'm telling you. You didn't. Read Genesis 3. Adam never asked for forgiveness. But they are telling you today, if you have anyone confessing your life, you will not make heaven. They are the ones who created heaven. They have the keys in their hand. That's why they keep having dreams about the Apostle Peter standing at the gate or in the market. If they don't have any other work, the Apostle Peter standing at the gate, waiting for people to come in. Adam, where are you? I heard your voice in the garden. I was afraid and I hid myself. Who told you you were naked? That was what God said. Have you eaten of the tree? I told you not to eat. He said, the woman you gave me, blame started. She gave me all the food to eat. Then God taught the woman. The woman said that, it's serpent. She blamed him. Then God spoke to the serpent, you are cursed. He told the woman, this is the consequence of your action. He told Adam, this is the consequence of your action. See, even the ground. Something has happened. Do you notice none of that conversation? They did not confess their sin. Then God now came and clothed them by himself. They didn't even know enough to know that we should ask for covering. He initiated the covering. Before he initiated the covering, he spoke to them in the garden, the solution to the problem. The seed of the woman will come. He will rectify this thing. I will save you. How do you despise a savior? We initiated salvation when he didn't ask for it. How would you think your own conduct will now come to play in his actions in your life? Think about it. Romans 5:8. God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He doesn't find fault. If you take nothing away tonight, he does not find fault. He doesn't find fault. That is who he is. That's why ask in faith. Faith is knowing it does not find fault. That's what faith is. Okay? So if it doesn't find fault, it now says, verse 7, it's verse 6 again, says, let him ask in faith nothing wavering, for he that wavers like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and dust, for let not a man think. So his thinking is the problem. His thinking is the problem. His thinking is where wavering started. God gives sometimes. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says hold on. you are wavering. God gives you something, doesn't give to all, you are wavering. God will give you, after you conclude 7 days fasting, you are wavering. Because what you just said, that God is reluctant to give. That's what you are saying. He wants to see your performance before he gives you. You know, God doesn't want to give you the blessing because he believes that if he gives you, it will destroy you. No, collect the blessing first. Let us now see. You know, there are things we say to console ourselves. God knows if he gives me a million naira, I'll just go come to church. No, you will not. We will not allow you. We are here. Collect the money first. We are here to help you to stay in church. Those are all lies. Now, you are his child. He doesn't want you to have 10 million. But he allows unbelievers to have millions. He's allowing them. But when it comes to you, no. Money is evil. It's not evil. It is the love of money that is root of all. Money is not evil. The love of money. That's the root of all, not money. So he that wavers is like the wave of the sea. So to waver means to have a contrary opinion to what he said in verse 5. That God gives you a doubting. What if he doesn't give to everyone? Maybe I'm the exception. And how do you know you are thinking that way? If you ever have believers facing a challenge and you have a discussion with them, it leaks out of their conversation. It actually does. As a pastor, I'm discussing with myself. I don't know why God is allowing me to pass through this. I don't know why God is allowing me to pass through this. I don't know why God doesn't want to answer my prayer. That's a slap in God's face. Genesis chapter 4. You are not as terrible as this character we're about to look at. Your name is not Cain. Have you noticed nobody names their child Cain? Have you noticed? Nobody is inspired. I've seen people with the name Abel. I've not even seen anybody called Esau. It's amazing how people just bypassed those names. It's amazing. Even people that don't believe Bible. They've never accidentally called that my name. God told me that the name of this child is Cain. The Americans have used that name. They've used another form of it. It's their own is K-A-N-E. It's not the spelling of the Bible. Alright. I'm going to read very fast. Okay, are you there? I'm going to read very fast. I'm going to read from verse 4. We know the story. So let me go. And Abel, he also brought of the... Let me read from verse 3. In the process of time, he came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground and offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstness of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, that's angry, his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, so God was communicating. Now, this is prayer. Why hast thou wrought? Why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? And if you do not well, sin lies at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt have rule over him. Now, I don't know why King James translated this, but sin lies at the door. Actually, sin offering. The offering you are meant to offer is right there before you. Why don't you take it and offer it? That is the good you ought to have done. If you do well, shall you not be accepted? In other words, you didn't offer anything in faith. You know that when it comes to offering, it has to be by faith. The reason why Abel's offering was accepted wasn't because Abel was more moral. It was because Abel offered by faith. Say amen. But Cain did not. So, see what it says again. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, verse 8. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Does that sound disrespectful or not? I mean, if you are God, how will you feel like? I take your breath from you now. As you are talking, just shrink and die. As I'm talking now. Is it me you are talking to like that? Look at that. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Look at the way he's talking. See what happened next. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out unto me from the ground. And now, thou art cursed from the earth, which opens a man to receive your brother's blood from thy hand. And when you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you as strength. A figure and a balaman shall not be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Remember what we said about Genesis chapter 3. God is the chief informant of the universe. He came to inform Cain, your action has consequences. This is not God cursing Cain. This is God telling Cain that what you have done has provoked certain forces upon the earth that will be against you. Why will God tell you about the consequences if he doesn't want to help you? It's like when he sent Isaiah to Hezekiah. You will not recover from this sickness. Put your house in order. Why do you think God did that? So that Ezekiah can pray. Unto him that answers prayer shall all flesh come. So when God told Cain, this is the consequence. Look at Cain's response. He was still not repentant at all. He said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out from this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid, and I shall be a figure and a banner of Gamoth in the earth. It shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me, and lost head unto him. Therefore, whosoever slayed Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold, and lost set a mark upon him, lest any finding him should slay him. Look at verse 16. And Cain went out from where? The presence of the Lord. So where was he before? A murderer. He was having conversation, he was having prayer, and God was answering the prayer. Matthew chapter 5. In the Genesis book of beginnings. Before we read Matthew 9, 5, let's read Luke 6. If those things were not recorded now, we would doubt it. They were recorded. While he was in sin, in rebellion, he was talking, God was answering. A believer makes a mistake today. He says that, you know, God has not spoken to me for 7 days. No, you have closed your ears for 7 days. You know, what you just said is terrible. You know what? You are saying that God is reacting to your sin. You are proud though. God is reacting to me. Ah! This pain me. I will not, in fact, I'm so angry for the next 7 days, I can't talk to you. My eyes are too pure to behold. Your mind is working on you. That's when you hear those kind of voices, really cheap on your case. Verse 35, Luke 6, 35. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend open for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is what? Kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, who is the first unthankful and evil that you know? No, tell me now. Jesus is telling, is teaching scripture. He's not just giving illustration. Who is the first unthankful and evil that you know? He's Cain. And he's telling you God's character from the beginning. This is God's character. This is who God is. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. In other words, even when God bless a man and the man doesn't say thank you, God doesn't say, bring my blessing. Bring it now. He doesn't say that. God doesn't say that. In other words, he is good despite men's unthankfulness. God is just good. That's who he is. That's who God is. Look at the next verse. Be ye therefore merciful as your father also is what? Merciful. This is so important. Matthew. So when it says God is kind to the unthankful and to the evil, what does that kindness mean? God is merciful. Hallelujah. All right, Matthew 5. Remember what we read in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 2. In these last days, God has spoken to us by who? By his son. Okay, so in his earthly ministry, this is the son speaking. Verse 30, let me read from verse, let me see. Verse 38, because of time. Are you there? You have heard that it has been said. That is the first thing that should have alerted the Jews. You have heard that it has been said. And what he's about to quote is the law of Moses. So if it's the law of Moses, and God is the one who said it, how should Jesus have said it? You've heard God say. How many of you agree with that? He's quoting from Deuteronomy. And he said, you have heard that it has been said. In other words, everything you have heard that sounds like this is within the realm of human interaction. It's not God. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I just said? You've heard that it has been said. So, this is reported speech. You've heard that it has been said. What's the next thing he says? He says, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. Next verse. See. But I say unto you. So, let me ask the question. What you've heard and what I say, which one is legit? Which one is legit? But what you heard, where is it written? Where is it written? In the scriptures, in the law. But I say. So are there things written in the scriptures that God didn't say? So when Isaiah said, I, the Lord, I form darkness, I create light. Is it God that said so? Isaiah said so. So if Jesus was with Isaiah at that time, what would Jesus have said? Isaiah, you are smoking something. Isaiah, you are on drugs. And he tries to argue, telling them, are you not the same one who said that, holy, 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 Lord Almighty, the whole earth is full of his glory. I'm a man of unclean lips, and it was Inge you were talking to. You say, it's not Inge you were talking to. You are a man of unclean lips, and you have been prophesying for me. And you said, of his government there shall be no end. You saw, I will come. You know that you're yearning. That means yearning. Now, this is very important because listen, in Matthew 17, so that you understand what Jesus is saying, he took them upon the mountain where we had the transfiguration, Matthew 17. And they appeared unto him in glory, Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the law, Elijah the prophets. Then Peter, James, and John were there. And their hands were heavy with sleep. We didn't know everything that happened because they were sleeping. It's the little part that they caught that we heard. So things were happening, but they were asleep. That's the apostles. That's why we have mercy on you when you sleep in church. Right. Lord bless you. Towards the end, they suddenly woke up. And they had a voice that said, they saw Elijah, they saw Moses, they saw Jesus. The voice ignored Elijah, ignored Moses, and said, this is my beloved son, hear him. It is what Moses was trying to say, and Elijah was trying to say. But since he's here, he will say it better himself. He will say it better himself. Because without him, Elijah and Moses don't make sense. So when Jesus said, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Why did he say you heard it said? That was within the realm of human interaction. What I, as God, now say unto you. And what it's about to say is a reflection of God's character. See what it says I say unto you. That you resist not evil, but whatsoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn unto him what? The other also. I've told you what this means. Okay? Pastor said that we should turn the other cheek. They slapped me. I said, this one. No. You may become deaf. The answer is in what he said. He said, don't resist evil. Okay? He said, but whosoever shall smite thee, turn to me. What does it mean to turn again? What does it mean to turn? You know it can't be cheek he's talking about. You know, smite on cheek is figure of speech. You agree? So what it means is, if somebody slap you, don't slap back. If somebody abuses you, don't abuse back. If somebody does you wrong, don't do wrong in retaliation. So what does it mean to turn the other cheek? If somebody does you evil or does you wrong, do good. That's the other cheek. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? The other cheek is you do good to those who do you one evil. That's the other cheek. Let's read on. See what it says. It says, next verse. Let's quickly move on to next verse. You have heard it said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and what? Hate thine enemy. Some churches are still following this. That's why they pray for enemies to die. And when they are saying enemies, they are thinking men. If your real enemies are demons, you know they cannot die. No matter how much you pray, you know. Okay, next verse. So, see what it says again now. It says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them which rightfully use you and one persecute you. What do you do to those who curse you? You bless them. You don't say back to sender. Back to sender means that's already landed on you. That's what it means. You don't stand against the curse like this. Oh, you know, we do some very funny things that I don't really know where we learn those things from. Somebody's then getting, and you think you can do like this and saw something invisible. It's just ridiculous. And you said, no. He said, bless them that what? Curse you. That means you are too blessed to be cursed. You are the blessed. He's the one cursing. And the blessing in you is stronger than the curse in the person. So bless the person. Give him out of the surplus you carry. That's what he's saying. Now, he's describing God's character to you. This is very interesting. When you hear men cursing God, the Bible is saying God blesses them even when they are cursing him. You know, I know in your mindset you are fighting for Jesus. So when men are cursing God, you know what you are feeling? Hey, you will soon fall down that you see. Is he my God? I are cursing. And mom says, when people are cursing God, what does God do? He blesses them. I know you don't like it, but find it in your heart to accept the scriptures. This is how God is. God blesses those that what? Curse him. And he wants his children to display the same thing. Imagine a conductor cursing and say, bless you, brother. Bless you. The Lord bless you. You know, the worst that can happen is that the man will shut up. Because they don't know how to handle that. What they know how to handle is that you are raining insults back. But when you are saying, God bless you, God keep you, it will be well with your family, they will shut up. They'll say something is wrong with this. But they will shut up. Because they cannot keep cursing when you will keep blessing. They can't. They don't. In fact, Satan just stops in his trap because he doesn't know how to handle that. How can somebody be praying for me, things will work, when I'm spending all my time abusing and cursing me, and you just being a brain, things will work for you. God will bless you. God will help you. This year will be fruitful for you. Try it in the bus one day. You will see the conductor will shut up. I'm telling you, what kind of people are this Nigeria? He says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good. No, so this one, those you know they despise you, they today, do what? Do good. So let your actions be contrary to what they expect you to be. He now says, look at the next verse. He says, that you may be the children of your Father which is where he in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other words, God's response at all times is mercy. Luke 6:35-36. He is merciful. He is kind to the unthankful and to the what? Evil. He is supporting what James is saying. God gives to all men liberally. He does not find fault. He does not find fault. You know, if we ask you, put you in God's seat for just an hour, and you see the conduct of men, a large population of the world will be dead. By the time, in just 2 hours, what you'll have done? It's the Lord that finds fault. Look, now, where did Jesus get us and say that? He said, you have heard it said. Who said it? Look at Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. You've heard it said, Hebrews 2. Who said those things through Moses? Who thinks and reasons like that? Two people or two individuals. Man in his fallen state and angels. Because of what they know. So, Hebrews 2, verse 1. See what it says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Sleep. Next verse. For if the word spoken by angels. So, was there a word spoken by angels? What was not spoken by angels? The law. The law. The law. So, the interaction of man and angels produced the law. And angels don't understand salvation. Angels understand sowing and reaping. That's what angels understand. Angels understand a man is blessed because he's good. That's what they understand. Because their understanding does not go beyond that of what men know. And when men honor the law, what they know is that law finds fault. Hallelujah. Do you understand that so far? So, in that sense, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, that's the first characteristic. The second one is this. It said, and every transgression and disobedience received what? A just recompense. Now, that is the law. When it comes to the gospel, every transgression and disobedience met with swift mercy. Again, God in these last days has spoken by his son. So everybody Jesus healed in the four gospels, all of them were sinners. Where there was a question about conduct, about God's willingness, like in Matthew 8, when leper came to Jesus, I know you can, if you will. So the person had faith in Jesus' ability, he didn't know about Jesus' willingness. Jesus touched the man in his leprosy, said, I will be thou clean, to remove the doubt from the man's mind. The power will have flowed, but there was a question mark whether God was willing. Jesus removed the question mark. Because leprosy stands for sin spiritually also. So Jesus deliberately fraternized with sinners to correct another prophet. Who was that prophet? I thought they said your hearts were too pure to behold evil. But Jesus was in the womb of a sinner, Mary. for 9 months. And Mary did not die. He was taught by sinners, they didn't die. He walked with sinners, they didn't die. He started his ministries. The 12 disciples were all sinners. He didn't fall down dead. He was going to pay for their sins. Before he paid, none of them died. They accused him. They confronted him. Instead of him killing those who were attacked, he gave himself to be punished by man. This is our God. What is he trying to do? Correct that impression. Again, what did the prophet say? God, who has certain times done our father and son, spoke unto the fathers by the prophets. Let me show you what one of the prophets said. Psalm 136. I read it before joyously and foolishly. Psalm 136. We used to read it in sing song. Verse 7. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. All this one is good. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy, No. Wait. We're talking about, to slaughter his mercy. No. Wherever this prophet sees, you are not seeing where. To him that spoke given for his mercy and effort. Look at next verse. This a prophet said this. So you can see why Jesus came to correct. Next verse. And brought out Israel from among them for his mercy and endures forever. With a stronger with the straight out arm for his mercy and endures forever. To him we divided the rest into parts for his mercy and endures forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it for his mercy and endures forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea for his mercy endures forever. So look at verse 18. And slew famous kings for his mercy endures forever. He began to give now. Why people laugh? When they were about to enter Canaan, they had an instruction. What's the instruction? Burn down high to the ground. And they burnt down high to the ground. They had a condition. When you go there in nation, speak peace to them. If they embrace your peace, give them your peace. If they refuse, slaughter all of them. Who was speaking? Angel, based on the heart of man. Because it is man that believes in an eye for an eye. That's how man believes. So when you send angels among men who believe an eye for an eye, the conduct of the angels will reflect the nature of those men. They came to capture Jesus in the garden. And Jesus told us, do you think even now I cannot ask my father? He will send 12 legion of angels. And they came to capture Jesus. John tells us in John chapter 18, Jesus said, I am he. They fell down under power. Does that look like somebody they can capture ordinarily? It was because those angels were around. And the angels were just waiting for command. Just give the word. The days of Elijah will burn them. And they were wondering, what's going on here? Why is this man not commanding? And Jesus said, I have said I am in. Let these ones go. Let them go. Bow. And he allowed himself to be captured. The creator in the hands of his own creation. To be punished by them for their own sin. We killed God. In case you don't know, that's what it means. We killed God and he allowed it. Now, if that does not persuade you that God is merciful, nothing else will. Does that look like the one who kills people? No. It's not the one who kills people. You've seen a lot of activity of angels. Now, that is what this prophet wrote. Look at the spirit of the New Testament. Hebrews 11. Because when you are saying that, I don't even know why in this church. We're always praying. We're praying for the brethren. We're praying for believers to grow. We're praying for church to prepare. They don't pray hot prayers in this church. Let us pray very serious hot prayers. Let us pray that because their pastor, that means you say, there are a lot of enemies. Enemies are bound, plenty of them. Why are we not dealing with you? Lord, Pastor, your mind is playing tricks on you. Your mind is something you do. There are serious enemies around. The real enemy, the deception has entered your mind. That you look at a man that Jesus died for as an enemy. And you don't know that the Bible says that because you now have Christ in you, overcome evil with good. There is no stronger weapon that can spoil enchantments and the love of God. There's no stronger one. Verse 24. We're going to read fast. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to endure the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. So Moses knew about his assignment. And knows the assignment involved the reproach of Christ. Okay. And the reproach of Christ speaks about the suffering of Christ, which he knew by revelation. For he had respect unto the compass of the world. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing what? A rod. So the first mention of rod here, is it coming from God or from man? From God or from man? So the rod is coming from who? The king, the man. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word invisible there means that he persevered in that plan because he saw Christ who was yet to come. He knew by revelation. Let's look at the next verse. He says, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. When Bible says true faith, it can't be true eating something. That's why I said true faith. Because it's not by eating that thing that you escape. Hallelujah. What is their faith again? The substance of what they hoped for. The evidence of what they didn't see. So the substance in Moses' heart made him escape. Do you understand that? Okay, so it wasn't by eating unleavened bread. And so, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should what? Touch them. So, did they have faith that they rescued them from the one who destroyed the firstborn? Answer. So, can the one who destroyed firstborn be God? Who protected them from the one who destroyed the firstborn? Thank you. That can't be God destroying the firstborn. There is a destroyer that destroyed the firstborn that they needed faith to escape. And their faith, look at the next verse. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do where. What did the prophet say? What did the prophet say? Who drowned them in the sea? What did the prophet say? He said, God. What did the New Testament say? Why did they drown? They didn't have faith. That's all, though. That's what really happened, though. They did not have faith. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, which the Egyptians trying to do were drowned. Or they were not passing through by faith. The Israelites passed through by faith. The Jesus did not pass through by faith. And because they didn't use faith, in other words, it was faith that kept the waters of the sea parted. Since they didn't have that faith, the waters followed their natural course. And they were drowned. How did the prophet say it? To he that drowned Pharaoh and his own for his good and his mercy. Is that goodness? That's not goodness. That's not goodness. He just told you now that God says you should love your enemy. So let me ask you a question. Did God want Pharaoh to die? No. Did Moses want them to die? Did Moses want them to die? Brother Moses. No, you should say yes, so. Because even his own people that rebelled, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, Moses said that, let the ground. And that's the ministry of angels. They quickly obeyed. That's not God. When God showed up, what did God say about himself? He is not willing that any should perish. He is not willing that any should perish. He is not willing that any should perish. But that all should come to what? He is not willing that any should perish. That is how God is. That's who God is. Ezekiel 20:22. I trust you have been blessed. So, because this is crucial. Even though we can't read Luke 18 today, I just want you to see why the unjust judge in Luke 18, which is a contrary thought, the unrenewed part of man's mind, can stand against you in prayer. It says, God will answer speedily, but the unjust judge will stand against your answer if you don't do something about the unjust judge. You have to weigh out the unjust judge. It is to deal with every thought that is contrary to God's personality, God's character, God's faithfulness. Are you in Ezekiel 22? Ezekiel 22. Again, verse 30. Ezekiel 22, verse 13. Are you there? And I sought for a man among them that should make up the edge and stand in the gap before me for the lamb, that I should not what? Destroy them. But I found none. Now notice the word I should not destroy sounds like an active word, isn't it? But look at the next verse. Read contextually. Therefore have I poured out my indignation. So this is Ezekiel writing on behalf of God. Okay? This is reported speak. Ezekiel is reporting how God feels. So let us see whether Ezekiel is right. What he's trying to say. Remember, Jesus came to correct, isn't it? So see what it says. See, therefore have I poured out my indignation. So judgment came upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Now look at what he's calling fire of wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. Let's read it very well again. In the previous verse, I sought for a man. If I'm the one ready to destroy them, why am I looking for a man to stand before me? I'm looking for a man so that judgment can be averted. The same way God sent Jonah to Nineveh when their sin called for judgment. Why would God send Jonah to Nineveh? Because he didn't want Nineveh destroyed. The activities of Nineveh and the men of Nineveh called for judgment. Judgment will come. God wanted to step in with mercy, so he sent Jonah to preach. When he preached, they repented. When they repented and prayed, God's mercy stopped judgment. Or, let me be, judgment was on its way, figure of speech now. God's mercy interrupted it on the way and arrested it. He now says, see, their own way. So, are there consequences of wrong actions? Yes. If you jump from a story building, will you fall? Oh, yes. Did God push you? Oh, no. You agree? You know. So, people do things that call for judgment, that have consequences. It is only God's mercy that intervenes between the judgment that should come to them, okay? And so that intervenes between the judgment that should come to them and the consequences of their actions. Only God's mercy. So, yeah, it says their own way, or what I'm calling judgment, what Ezekiel is calling my wrath is their own way. The consequence of the actions is what has come to them now. And that's what I didn't want. I wanted the man to stand before me in the camp. But thank God, God has found a man for the earth. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. God found a man that will stop doing it. That's why James tells us, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Glory to God. So we know in Christ, God's judgment is his mercy. Hallelujah. It's got to be feared. Is God to be feared? Yeah. Is God holy? The question is, what do we mean by that? Okay, we'll go into that later. But if you go to Psalm 130, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says that. If thou, Lord, should count sin, who shall stand? But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou shouldest be feared. So God wants to be feared for being the one who forgives. He wants to be reverenced as the one who forgives. Let me say it in a modern day. God wants you to reverence him as Savior. God's reverence is in his mercy. If a man can understand how merciful I am, that's my reverence. I'm merciful. Hallelujah. Even to the unthankful, God is merciful. So quit all this unscriptural way of thinking because of what I did, and what I did, and what I did last week, and what I did last year, and what I did 5 years ago. That's why God is not answering my prayer. We're having a vigil in our former venue. And while the vigil was going on, there was a flow of the Spirit, and God told me to go to a particular lady. She was now married to me, 4 years in marriage at that time, and she and her husband were trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And God told me to tell her, so I called her aside, didn't use the microphone, just preaching me, and I told her, I said, when you were in relationship with your husband to be, you got pregnant and you aborted it. He said, yes. She said, yeah. I said, and because when you did that, you asked for forgiveness. He said, yes. I said, God told me to tell you that he forgave you. Don't let the enemy tell you that's why you can't have a child yet. So Satan just came upon her and told her, you see yourself. I think you see your life. Why that does not make sense is because I have seen cases. I mean, I know a lady that did 6 times aborted. And she got pregnant 3rd month. And I know women who have never had sex until they got married. And 7 years they were waiting. You don't use those. Don't let Satan make mincemeat of your mind. That's not how God is. You cannot use natural parameters to explain those things. There are delays and issues, but it's not because of what you did. The minute you start thinking of, hey, something like this, you are wavering. If that wavers like a wave of the sea, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Because you have sided in with the unjust judge. You are fighting against yourself now. You are wavering. You cannot receive. You are the one bringing up reasons why God should answer. That's what you are doing. He gives to all men liberally. He doesn't find fault. Hallelujah. Let's thank him tonight. He doesn't find fault. Let's thank him tonight. We give you praise, Father. I want us to take a few minutes to pray for Sunday. How many of you know Sunday is going to be awesome? How many of you were here last Sunday meeting? Oh my goodness. This Sunday is going to be what? Awesome. I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for the manifestations of the Spirit, for utterance, for every minister that stands, utterance, direction, clarity. The teaching of the word will go forth expressly. Lives will be changed. Men will be blessed. Joy of the Holy Ghost. The power gives in manifestation. The ministry of laying of hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus, design of spirits, working of miracles. In the name of the Lord Jesus, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. And Adungro, Stibroch, the Vresteke, Vresteke, Kuga, Lavrasteke, Angriste, Kigisu, Suprusta, Prakashir, Estrona, France, the Kalabanku, Susuprusta, Frada Kati, Enekan, Lekisto, Uzubrum, Refrenenka, Agriste, Estugons, Avrasta, Franaka, Lagrikishe, Vresteke, Susuprusta, Kodika, Unglang, Rieste, Sugum, Runs, Avredika, Lachte, Eka Krast, Situ Krusto, Ostafrasta, Laga, Lagriste, Estingin, Zukunda Krasta, Ekunga, Lamangriste, In strong lashim rusta kiasta, a can grosta masto, usto savrana branta legilisteke, a car grust, men flow in the spirit, men yield to the spirit. This Sunday, thank you for spectacular results, for outstanding demonstrations of your glory and your power. Me presto copa legilisteke, estuco sopra, all transfers freely, divine activity, onka, ducole brigitte, accurate interpretation of the meeting in the heart. Of every minister in the name of Jesus, as they flow together, men are blessed. New ones come in and they are taught and they are set up and they are fed and they are instructed and they establish a kike suko prostaka in the same grace. Sakor and then brogast is to prokopa gala grige gishi gristo. Oh, prosti gala kurus eke suso prokosta eki gakalishti eku grusa kala branzeke suguru e ingela grusto lugu grisde. Angela Griste, Ekigusu Subrocosta Bragati, Ekakanubunos, Okesisabristinike, Ekelangrugusha, Ekigrusto Sabragotanange, Ekuma, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Let's see, friends, I give him praise, I give him thanks for a glorious and awesome time, and a Grusta Sibridika, thank you for the workings of your mighty power, thank you. For the expressions of your mightiness in the midst of the same, thank you for glasses radical agriki shiki for your outstretched hand, thank you, Father, for accurate akala gusto interpretation of your plans, of your purposes, of the every aspect of the meeting. The ministers we stand, oh Bruce, get bold in you, expressing your power, expressing your goodness. In Christos sabrokataki ligriste, we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' precious. Then we pray. Amen. Glory to God. You cause us to prosper. You cause us to abound to every good work. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.